Well, this morning we're going to look at Philippians. Philippians is awesome. Paul wrote it to the church in Philippi, which still exists today. We haven't been in that area. I haven't been in that area yet to go see these ancient cities, but they are definitely still there. And, well, this morning I thought what we'd look at is this passage of Scripture. And it's a way to really live authentically, amen? Because sometimes in life, there's a lot of cheap substitutes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever tried to buy, like, let's say, like a non-brand, more of like a generic brand item, and you think it's supposed to mimic this or that, but it doesn't do a very good job? I think one time we even had some like generic kind of Cheez-Its, but it wasn't Cheez-Its, and they just were terrible. It was like, who baked these? It's like no good. Well, in life and in our walk with the Lord, we have to always be careful not to be 100% authentic for the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we know how to do the motions. We know how to look the part. But we want to be the real deal for Jesus, not just surface. Hallelujah. I mentioned last week that in my business, I've had the chance to see a lot of fake items in my career. When you get to see jewelry and watches. Now, I will say one thing. My store carries fine jewelry and costume jewelry. So we already know which ones are going to be produced on purpose as costume or fantasy jewelry. But we also know which ones are legitimately 18-karat gold with real diamonds. And which ones are just glass stones with some kind of, you know, metal that's not precious. So we already know that. But what about timepieces? This is interesting. Have you ever been to a city that might sell fake items on the streets or anything like that? She's had, yeah, we've seen them. Sometimes we know where these centers are, too. When we go to New York, you see these guys set up their stuff on the streets, you just know it's not going to be Louis Vuitton and Chanel and Rolex. You just know, especially because it's probably like $60 or $80. They get more out of you, that's even worse. But I work in that industry, and we do get to see these, and it is a big business. A lot of people produce these things, but you know what's interesting about fake items? They look the part, they act the part, they trick people into believing that you might be able to trick people into believing that it is the real deal, but we know that it's not. And one lady about 3 months ago brought into my store a replica watch, and you know what I usually tell people is when they say, how do you know? They say, how do you know? And I usually tell them kind of like this. I say, well, I have my daughter. She's about this high. Her hair is this kind of color. Her eyes are blue, this and that. But if you bring another little girl very similar, I'm just going to know that's not my daughter. I know what belongs to me. Same thing with my son. You could bring another little brown-haired, brown-eyed boy next to me, and I'm going to know it's not my son. So that's how I know. I get to see these all the time. But I wanted to mention that this morning because what I started to say now when people bring in timepieces, they want to send them in for repair. Why? Because these things will stop working, won't they? It looks fancy, but it really isn't. Stop working, bracelets start breaking, on and on. Last week I said it might turn your wrist green. But let me tell you something. Now what I tell people when they bring something in that isn't the real deal, I say this, it's not our work. And I let them figure it out. So let me tell you something. When we start displaying things in our life that does not come from the Lord, it's not His work. Amen? We have to remember we are to display things of God that are God's work. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, peace, victory. Think about the things that come from God. We are here to know what God's work is and emulate that in our lives. One guy came to our window when we renovated a store, a watch store at the Wynn. He brought his it said Rolex, and he said, can you just verify this is real? And I already could tell that it wasn't. I said, you know what I'm going to do? We built this beautiful watchmaker room with a big window. If you go there today, you can see it. And everybody can see the watchmaker in there doing his work right in front of them. Because you know what people are worried about if they can't see? They think you're going to switch a diamond on them or you're going to swap it out. Have you heard of that before? So we built this big room with a big window, And here the guy sees the watchmaker screwing off the back and opening it up. He looks at the movement. He asks for the gentleman's camera. We brought it back. We took a picture, and we took the picture back to him. And inside, the movement that should be working says, ABC Company, made in China. Who in the world names their company ABC Company? That's like the dumbest name ever, isn't it? Really, really terrible name. So, I mentioned this morning that Paul, he's giving us guidelines on how to be genuine, hallelujah, in God's kingdom. We know how to look happy, don't we, when we're not really? Can you pull that off? We know how to act kind when we're not feeling kind that day. We know how to watch our mouths when we're really thinking something worse behind the tongue. We know how to pull all these off. But we need to avoid the counterfeit, hallelujah. Because what Paul is saying here is we need to have a Christ-centered life, avoiding falsity and avoiding the me syndrome. Have you ever worked with someone that only thinks about themselves? Have you been there? I used to have one lady on my staff. She knew that when she called out sick, it would actually give her 3 days off. So guess what she would do? She would have her 2 days off and then call in on that third day to get a nice 5-day week. Oh, isn't that fancy? And it would mess up my whole schedule. And guess what? 2 months later, strike again. Here she is. Boom. 3 days off, 2 days here. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like calling in an extra vacation whenever you want it. Only thinking of me is how it happened. But I have to tell you something. We have to start thinking of each other, amen? Not just a surface coating, but deep penetrating in our hearts. We have to be people that are the real deal for the Lord. Could you put up that topaz picture really quick? I want you to see this. Because, what's that? The non-pink one, the other one. That's really pretty, isn't it? Do you like it? It's called Mystic Topaz. So, probably around 2000, I don't know what, 8 or 10 or something, I received my diploma in colored stone training with the Gemological Institute of America. And let me tell you, this stone is gorgeous, and it's a big business. Have you ever heard of Mystic Topaz? It's a big business. It displays all these crazy, beautiful colors. And as you can see there, there's pinks, there's blues, there's yellows, there's violets, there's teal greens, there's violet, dark, purpley colors. It's absolutely gorgeous. But let me tell you something. This does not exist in nature. God didn't make it. Mankind did it. And they do things like this all the time. You want to know where those beautiful colors come from? A surface coating. Isn't that wild? A surface coating. And you can usually tell if you have a microscope by looking on the side, the corner of the edges, and you'll see where the coating stops and the rest of the real actual gemstone begins. It is topaz, but typically topaz would be colorless. But guess what happens? Because it's a surface coating, it has no penetration, no roots, nothing in the stone. So the moment you scratch it, chip it, a jeweler's torch gets too close to it, it just melts right off because it has no depth. I mentioned that this morning today because once that color comes off, it goes back to just being colorless and all the beautiful colors gone. But I mentioned that today because we have to make sure that what we learn about Christ Jesus, when we sing to Him, when we take His communion, that it's truly penetrating deep into who we are as people. Amen? Not just I'm showing up on Sunday and doing these motions. I'm just coming because I know I can sit in that chair for an hour and I'll just go home and nothing penetrated. But I'll tell you today, we never want to be a Christian that just looks the part, sounds the part, walks the part, talks the part without having a heart that is the part. Hallelujah. We want to look at what Paul says today, a teaching that really separates the authentic from the non-authentic life that is to be lived in Christ Jesus. And as my wife says, she says, are you just a church member or a church follower of Jesus? We want to be genuine Jesus followers, amen? So let's look at Philippians 2, and we'll look at verses 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, Lord, change our lives in the name of Jesus. May we be the authentic people of God we are called to be. Hallelujah. So the first thing I wanted to mention this morning based on this scripture, powerful scripture, isn't it? Relook at it later. Can I get some promises? Who's going to look at it later? Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Relook at it later. Read it through your mind and then read it out loud and see what it'll do to you. We need, first and foremost this morning, is to reject selfishness. Hallelujah. Do you ever feel selfish? Do you ever feel that moment? We need to reject being selfish. We need to reject also any kind of vain conceit that might be in our life, because these are the things that Scripture says will destroy unity. Do you love unity in your family? And do you know what it feels like to not have unity in your family one day? Have you been there? Not fun. Not fun at all. When our kids were little, I remember, Kylie, you were playing the Nintendo Wii. Anybody have that? We have it at home still. She's playing Nintendo Wii. I wouldn't imagine Mario Karts or something like that. And all of a sudden, little Ryan, who's at the computer, he notices, oh, sister's playing Wii. So what does he do? He drops the computer. He goes over to the Wii, grabs the handle. She starts screaming, and he starts playing Wii. He's not going to let her get away with just being the only one playing Wii. So what does she do? She moves to the computer to go put on her music. Now little Ryan sees she's on the computer. He drops the Wii thing down, and he goes and he squeezes her off of the chair to take over the computer. Very selfish. She starts screaming again. I start getting angry. My fingers start tingling. I won't tell you why. But I was ready to just see at that moment, unity in our home just started to falter. And it wasn't a good feeling. But in regards to selfishness, Joyce Meyer states this: you need to get yourself off your mind. That's such a good call. She said, did you know that me, myself, and I are the greatest problems that we have? We spend our time and energy admiring ourselves, being full of ourselves, when in reality we are supposed to be full of God and empty of ourselves, totally empty. And if you look at the word pride, what is the one letter right in the middle? It's I. Conceit and vanity are also things that keep us from living authentic Christian lives. In Luke, you'll remember, when you read in Luke, there's a tax collector. And that tax collector was doing something. He was praying to the Lord. And unfortunately, that day, he was praying right next to a conceited Pharisee. Do you remember the story? This Pharisee was so full of vanity and conceit, the Pharisee begins to pray about himself. Isn't that the craziest thing ever? He says, Lord, thank you that I'm not like these other dudes. And not only that, Lord, but thank you that I'm not like this tax collector next to me. And then he goes on further. I fast, I tithe, I'm so cool, I'm an awesome dude in your kingdom. I'm so glad I'm not like the rest of them. And what does the tax collector do? He won't even look up to heaven. He's so humble, he says, Lord, with my head down, have mercy on a sinner like me. And Jesus says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. God's kingdom is like no other. I've seen people move up in the jewelry business just by exalting themselves nonstop. God's kingdom doesn't work that way. Isn't that awesome? He's nothing like us. There's one cool, crazy Rolex. You can Google it later, only if you want to. It's called the Safari Daytona. It is so flamboyant. It's off the charts. It's nothing conservative by any means. It has this wild face that kind of looks like a crazy leopard. The strap is all orangey-black leopard print. It has big, bright orange sapphires. It's pure flash. And you guess who owns it? A minister that we see on TV. And I think to myself, that is the most wild Rolex on planet Earth. And this pastor's wearing this thing. I mean, it's just wild. Talk about flash. But I tell you one thing. Selfish and vain conceit must be replaced with humility and humbleness. Amen? Attributes that are great worth in God's kingdom. It forges unity in being united, Paul says, with Christ. If any fellowship with the Spirit, then make my joy complete by being one in spirit and one in purpose. And Joyce Meyer, she says this. She states that Jesus had a problem with Pharisees. And why? Because they put on a good show. We live in Vegas. I've seen good shows. I've seen bad shows too. But I'll tell you one thing. She said they put on a good show because they had rotten hearts. May we never be found to have a rotten heart. Hallelujah. And since Jesus comes to live in our heart, we have to remember the kind of home we're making for him. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't want to be a bunch of phonies. Actually, talking about phonies, could you put the pink one up? This is not a phony. Wow! That is not a phony. That is a 25-carat fancy pink diamond, completely natural. Penetrated to its core pink. You could chip off of a side and do whatever, and it's still going to be that beautiful, vivid pink color. Do you know what a 24.87-carat fancy, vivid pink diamond costs? Could you imagine? Do you want me to tell you? This beauty, it's called the Graff Diamond. I'm actually standing in my store on Graff's old location, so I remember when Graff was at the Wynn. This is almost 25 carats, like I said, fancy vivid pink diamond. There's four different saturations of pink. This reaches vivid, which is phenomenal. This is a $46 million stone. I don't know who owns it currently. Maybe Lawrence Graff still owns it. But you know why it's $46 million? Because it is the real deal. That is not phony. A little bit of gemology nerdiness here. They don't even know what makes a pink diamond pink. They figure out all these other ways that diamonds are colored, yellow, green, blue, but they cannot figure out pink. They think it's some type of an anomaly. But you know what? The Lord knows how to do it because he made it. Isn't that spectacular? Would you wear that? I don't even know if I'd call that an emerald cut because the corners are so rounded. It almost looks like a cushion. Okay, let me get going. Second point this morning is this. A little bit of Christian rap. You know, Christians are good rappers, don't you? If you stop serving, then you may have started swerving. And I want to mention that today because I remember one time my brother was in a bad spot and he said, brother, I don't have a place to stay. I'm having a really hard time. Can I move in with you? You know, he caught me at like 7 in the morning. That's really weird for my brother because he's not an early riser. But I was half asleep and you know what I said? Let me think about it. Ouch. Ouch, I'll always remember that was my reaction. I wish I could take that back. I should have said, brother, come move in today. Let me help you. Let me come pack with you. What did I say? Let me think about it. I couldn't imagine my life being interrupted by somebody. I couldn't imagine somebody else's clothes in my dryer, my washer, leaving dirty things in the... whatever my brain imagined, I just couldn't imagine it. Oh, I'm using that room for my stereo. Oh, come on. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus says these words. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then some will say, "Lord, when did we do any of that for you?" Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Brother, can I come live with you? Let me give it some thought. Let me have your business card. I'll think about it. Unbelievable. Ouch. Mother Teresa, oh, what a lady. She says this, "I have the feeling that we are in such a hurry that we do not even have time to look at one another and smile. A way of satisfying our brethren's hunger is to share with them whatever we have, to share with them until we ourselves feel what they feel." We can give away our food until the point we're hungry to feed someone else. We can walk a mile in someone's shoes until we start feeling calluses in our own feet to help them. Amen? But often we don't want to be inconvenienced. "Use me, Lord." And I'm going, like my wife says, "Lord, and now I feel so used." So these are the moments we must stop ignoring people and their problems, and we should consider them just as valuable as ourselves. Amen? Jesus went to death on a cross for us. We need to make other people's problems our problems sometimes and help them out. There are many times I don't want to be inconvenienced, but you know what I say? Shut up and just do it. Help, Ryan. Hallelujah. Our third point this morning is this. Surrender your will. Ooh, that's not always easy, is it? We want to surrender our will to obey God's will. That's what Jesus did, amen? He had a good job in heaven. I tell you the truth. Before he came to earth and went through all this 30-some years of craziness, he had an awesome job in heaven. When you have an awesome job, would you want to leave the position and quit? No. Mother Teresa says this, "There are some people who, in order not to pray, use as an excuse the fact that life is too hectic, that it prevents them from praying." But she says, "But this cannot be. We cannot be that busy. Prayer does not demand that we interrupt our work, but that we continue working as if our life was a prayer." What a thing to say. It's not necessary to always be meditating or consciously experiencing the sensation that we are talking with God. No matter how nice this would be, she says, what matters is truly being with the Lord, living in Him, living in His will, to love with a pure heart, to love everybody. And she says this, especially the poor. This is a 24-hour prayer. The way we live our life can be a walking prayer. Isn't that something to say? So here she's suggesting that a prayerful life can be a life that emulates Christ Jesus, hallelujah, and that the world will see Him, hallelujah. But there's one thing I'm sure of. God's agenda is not my agenda. Isn't that something? His agenda is much better than my own. He's the one that said, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an idol for yourself, because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." He is jealous for me. Can you imagine? He is jealous for you. He wants nothing in front of Him when it comes to your relationship with Him. When Jan and I used to help in youth, I remember one night we did a teaching on some of the truths that our church believed in, and one of them was, we believe in the one true God. And you know why we say that, the one true God? Because there is none other like Him. There is no substitute, no equal, nothing like Him, hallelujah. Therefore, He is exalted to the highest place in our lives, amen. Christ submitted to the Father's will. He gave up that cushy position in heaven to take on humanity. That's what Paul is talking about in Philippians 2:1. He quit his job in heaven, sort of, to say, I'll go down and help them. And he knew what was coming. That's not an easy thing to do. I'm going to quit and go through craziness. Our last point is this, another Christian rhyme. Christ will shine when we stop saying mine. We need to remember it all belongs to Him. God exalted Christ Jesus to the highest place because of His life that He led, serving Him. One meaningful thing that I want to do with my life is to lift up the name of Jesus better than I'm doing now. And not only that, I want to humble myself more than I'm humbling myself today. And not only that, but I want Him exalted in my life greater than He's being exalted in my life today. I can do a better job. Hallelujah. I want to bow my knee more to Him. But I like how Paul ends his statement. He says, in all he gives Christ credit for, that he gave up that position in heaven, he made himself almost like nothing, like a servant, took on the frailty of humanity. You know what it's like to be human, don't you? If you knew you were in a perfect, let's say, a perfect being, and you had to take on humanity, that's not an easy decision for us to make, you know? Dear Lord, but truly, he says, and he became obedient to death on a cross. And all that he did was for the Father, not someone else. That's amazing. So, Christ didn't say, hey, I'm not going to leave my job in heaven. You know what? I got it good. I'm comfy. I'm cozy. I got my pension up here. I'm chilling. My nice chair, I put my feet up, rule on my throne. I'm good. No, he didn't do that. And he wasn't like Billy Joel. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. Jesus didn't do the Billy Joel thing. He came for us. Amen? That's a great thing. One time I bought Kylie a brownie. You were about 3 years old. I got her a brownie, brought it home from work, opened it up for her, and I said, before she put it in her mouth, can Daddy have a bite? No. It's mine. I said, wait a minute. 5 seconds ago, it was in my hand. I drove it in my car. Just give me one little bite. I'll just go get a knife and chop off a corner. She says, no. It's mine. So you know what you did, babe? You don't remember because you were so small. You made me beg. I could have imposed my will and said, no, I don't think so. I'm going to do it right in front of you. I'll bite right in front of you, and you can have the remainder, and you'll just deal with it. But you know what I did? I begged. I said, come on, please. Just give Daddy one little bite. You finally did, but I really had to do some work, like really trying to make you feel guilty. But we have to remember that God blesses us, amen? It's not from our hands. You might think it is, but it's not. Nothing you have is yours. Hallelujah. Friends, every amazing blessing that you have in your life, Kylie's not even mine. She belongs to the Father. He just gives her to me to do what He wants me to do in her life. Raise her in Christ Jesus, just like the children that you have in your life and the ones that you're taking care of, your family members, the Lord. So let's not have a 3-year-old Kylie attitude and say, mine. Love you, baby. We have to remember that our blessings are not just for us, they're to bless others. And if we claim to follow Jesus, we need to live like Christ did and pour ourselves out. We need to stop saying mine so Jesus can shine. And to me, this means that we live to bring God's glory into our lives and into others' lives. Hallelujah. And we want people to see that brightness. So as we close this morning, I just wanted to mention this. Have you ever seen a tiny house? Anybody out have them out here? Are there a couple out here in the valley? These little tiny houses? I think there's a place in Henderson that has a whole community of tiny houses. But this one guy who writes for USA Today, he wrote this article, and I found it. And he says, one result of the housing bust back in the day was, according to this USA Today article, a move to tiny houses. People were downsizing like big time. He says really tiny houses. Some tiny homes can be less than 100 square feet, which is smaller than most bathrooms in a normal size home. And they can come fully equipped with gas ranges, refrigerators, bathroom facilities, and the builders of the tiny home includes companies that really produce pieces or these little creations that can be like up to 50,000, sometimes even more. And he says there's also an online group that these people kind of like hang together and they chat with each other about their creations and the homes they're living in. And their blog, they have a blog, it gets like 7,000 visits a day. But, of course, living in a tiny house takes a certain mindset, the author says. Jay Schaefer, he's founder of the Small House Society. He's lived in an 89-square-foot home for 10 years. And he says this. He says he built it himself, but he says living in a small house like this really entails knowing what you need to be happy. Is that you? Do you know what you need to be happy? Well, I think I'll be happy when... I think I'll be happy if I get to go. I think I'll be happy once I buy. I think I'll be happy once I know. Whatever you might think. He says, knowing what you need to be happy. And he said, living in a small house, not only knowing what you need to be happy, but getting rid of everything else. Interesting. So I began to think of this in my Christian brain terms. When I hear this, I think of Jesus. First of all, I want to know what I need, and it's Jesus Christ only. And everything I else have, I just need to get rid of and make him king of my life. Amen? There's so many things that we need to cut out. That diamond you saw, they can keep cutting inclusions out of that all day long to make it cleaner. And sometimes that's the work of the Lord, cutting things out of our lives so that we shine brighter. Amen? So today, as we finish, the real deal is this. Our lives can get cluttered. Where are my clutter lovers? Who likes things? Baby, I'm not going to look to you. I'm going to look on this side of the room. I'm not going to look to the right. But I'll tell you, those of us that like the clutter of things, we just always have to remember that in life we can have clutter and we don't want to take the focus off of Jesus. He is the only source of happiness. If you're not drawing in closer to him, you're probably doing something wrong. You want to do something right and step closer to the Lord every day. Hallelujah. We don't want to have the me syndrome. We want to have the he syndrome. Hallelujah. And not only that, we want to reject all fake substitutes that take our heart. Amen? We want our heart to be tuned into Jesus. We don't want to just look the part. We want to live the part. We want to be what Jesus needs, a part of his family. Hallelujah. It's time to humble ourselves, be invested in the interests of others, to go out of our way to help somebody, to go out of our way. What would Indiana Jones be without field work? He wouldn't be Indy, would he? He's an archaeologist that has to be in the field. We are just like that. We are here to do the work of God, the feet of Jesus, the hands of Jesus. Get out there. Be in the field and have your radar up to help people. And in the same manner, it's time that we put our faith where our mouth is. Hallelujah. Being authentic means that in our lives, Jesus is the only Lord. And we need to resign ourselves from that job. Amen? Send in your resignation. Give him preeminence. Because Jesus was the one who humbled himself, obedient to death, and may we die to ourselves in 2024. Hallelujah. May we die to ourselves just as we remembered his body and his blood this day. Let's stand and pray. Amen. And close our eyes. Lord, we are so thankful. Forgive us, Lord, for the things that we've placed in front of you. Forgive us, Lord God, for the things that we needed to change this day. Lord, we're so grateful for your goodness. We want to stop saying mine. We want Jesus to be the one to shine in 2024. Hallelujah. And not only that, Lord, but we're so grateful for all you've done for us, that we can obey your will. Hallelujah. just as Christ did. A full surrender, praise the Lord, is what you are looking for. Help us to surrender, Lord. Help us every day. And we believe you will do what you say, Lord. And Father, we want to serve you in a new way, hallelujah. We don't want to be selfish. We don't want to be people that are conceited and held up in our own lives, that we misplace our focus and don't help others. Lord, help us to be those people. And Father, give us time of great fellowship today, building up one another, causing unity, hallelujah. May unity be preeminent this year in our lives, in this church, and in our families. And in Jesus' name, we pray this day. Amen. So I tell you this morning, before you set out those doors, remember the field that's out there. Amen. Remember the field work that needs to be done in this valley, the people you know. Don't miss a moment, because the Lord will give you moments, won't He? Has the Lord given you any great moments this week? Don't miss those moments. Invest in people. Hang out if you'd like to. Please feel free to come up for prayer if you need special prayer. God bless you this awesome Sunday. If it's 106, thank Him for 106. Oh, bummer. Just do it, amen? All right. God bless you this day.